May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. We have just heard two marvellous songs of praise, one from the book of Isaiah and one that we know as the Magnificat, the Song of Mary. Both of these hymns of praise have the same broad outline. They start with an exuberant rejoicing in God. They give thanks for what God has done for the singer. And they go on to look at the wider picture of God's dealings with the world. In Isaiah's song, some scholars say that it is the prophet himself who is the singer. Others say that it is the nation of Israel, a personification of the whole company of God's people. But whoever is speaking or singing, their theme is salvation. Salvation that is a present reality, a here and now salvation. Salvation that is described as the gift of righteousness, a gift already given. God decks the singer with a cloak or robe of righteousness, like the fine garments of a bride and a groom. The singer, whether a person or a people, has been blessed with God's salvation and clothed in righteousness. But then, turning from the personal blessings to look outward, the imagery of the song changes from wedding garments to creation, the fertile earth and a flourishing garden. Here righteousness is seen as a future hope for all peoples. Salvation is something personal, but that cannot be the end of the matter. We cannot restrict our view to something that is solely me and God, or perhaps me, a few other people, and God. We need to broaden our horizons and see God at work, transforming and making new the whole of creation. This idea that salvation is present now, and yet is also still to come, is taken up in Mary's song of praise and thanksgiving, as she rejoices in God my Saviour, or the God of my salvation. She also starts from her personal experiences. God has looked on her with favour. She's not rich. She's not famous. On a human scale of things, she is nobody important. Despite her low social status, or maybe because of it, God has blessed her. He has done great things for her. She goes on to describe the nature of God, how he so often works in surprising ways that reverse human expectations and priorities. The proud are brought low. The mighty are toppled from their seat of power. The lowly are lifted up. The hungry are fed. The rich receive nothing. Mary is singing about the character of God. This is the way God is. To some extent, her words can be seen as encouragement to join in God's work by helping and supporting the politically oppressed and socially disadvantaged, or as a call to humanitarian awareness and responsibility. And of course, seeking to redress the injustices of the world is vital. But siding with God is more than that. It's also and chiefly about our relationship with God, acknowledging the Almighty, as Mary does, as the God of our salvation, the one whose name is holy, the one who alone is worthy of our reverence and awe. Having told us about the nature of God and the character of salvation, Mary looks ahead in confidence to the final fulfillment of God's promise, a promise made to Abraham and Sarah, and reiterated down the centuries, the unconditional promise of salvation for all nations. Mary's song should prompt our gratitude. We can be thankful for the many blessings we receive. We live in a land that enjoys peace and prosperity and security, good medical services, my goodness, clean water supplies, freedom of religion, all of which should encourage us, like Mary, to be aware of those less fortunate and to seek to redress the balance. But as I said, her song is much more than an encouragement to good works or good deeds. It is about our whole relationship with God and our vision for the wider perspective of his salvation. The God who showers us with blessings and calls us to be part of the household of heaven, citizens of the kingdom, is the God who is part of our everyday life. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul refers to this as being adopted as God's children. Children who call God Abba, Father, as Jesus did. And this relationship with God involves us in God's wider relationship with all creation. And by God's grace, each one of us has a part to play. A celebration of the Blessed Virgin provides the space and encouragement to recall that we are part of the body of Christ, clothed with the garments of salvation, decked with the robe of righteousness. For the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. Both Isaiah and Mary were living, like us, in times of turmoil. In Isaiah's day, the people of Israel had been carried off into exile. Only a tiny, impoverished remnant remained in their homeland. Similarly, in Mary's day, the country was under foreign occupation. The rule of Rome could be very harsh. In neither case did the future look particularly bright. But their songs are joyful as they know God to be the creator and ultimate ruler over all. We too live in turbulent times. The uncertainty of the pandemic continues. Each day seems to bring news of wars and streams of refugees, and there are grave and pressing concerns for the environment. We strive to do whatever we can, but most of all, we trust in God's strength and goodness and rejoice in his sure salvation. So let us seek to live in the freedom of God's grace, as God's children, hopefully showing something of the family likeness. Amen.